And welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. I had to check to see if my mic was on. My earpiece is not exactly functioning properly. It is Thursday, September 18, 2025. I'm so glad everyone is joining us today. I got a great show lineup for you. The first segment, our whatever is going to be, obviously, Steve Quayle and Dr. Basima Williams. And look, we need this information, all of it, both hours. So please stay with me. I just want to acknowledge something. You know, I was watching the chat associated with today's program, and I see that there are losses, personal, deeply personal losses. And my heart goes out to the people who have lost sons and daughters and sisters and brothers and parents and husbands and wives. And I know the feeling pretty much on all of those. Okay. And I just want to say this, you're not alone, and you are certainly not obviously because you're here, but you're not alone. If you know the Lord and are strong in your faith, you know that you're not alone. Okay. I just want to say that we, from our family to all of you going through whatever crisis might be, and those of you who are grieving for loved ones right now, look, folks, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I will say that find solace in that, and also know that you're not alone and you'll never be alone. All right, with me is my great honor, great pleasure to have with me my good friend Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, gen6.com, and Renaissance Precious Metals, because the shiny stuff is just going through the roof. And why not? Because that's the only honest currency out there, honest money out there. So having said that, Steve, welcome, and then you can bring on our other esteemed and special guest.
Well, timely that Dr. Williams would be on us tonight, because there's three main events taking place ever since Charlie Kirk's assassination. People are grieving, and Dr. Williams is going to talk to us about grief, also the stress associated with it, because whether people want to acknowledge it or will acknowledge it, we're seeing some of the most caustic, deadly, hateful rhetoric, and people are getting stressed about it, and that results in sleeplessness. And sleeplessness is tearing up America. So Dr. Williams is gracious to come on tonight and share with us on those three subjects. So, Dr. Williams, please, let's deal with grief, because there's a time to grieve, and share with people, if you would, the way you help people to get through grief. And there's a lot of people hurting because of one of the most visible assassinations in history and the call for more innocent blood. So, Dr. Williams, the camera and the audience is yours.
Thank you so much. I do want to just tell you that I love your show, and I also just think of it as a privilege to be here talking with you. And also, I really love that I get to share what I do in my private office with my patients out in public, because I think it's been really, really helpful. And in particular, with this particular case, when Charlie Kirk was shot and then passed away, I found myself in complete numbness. My brain didn't even process the information, and I didn't know what to do. So I was literally frozen. And that is actually a common response with fight or flight. It's fight, flight, or freeze. And a lot of time your body has to use all that extra energy just to keep you alive. So your brain isn't working. It's not processing. Memory's gone. Sometimes when a loved one is lost, you actually have no recollection of that time because of the fight, flight, or freeze response that you have. But I do want to read something from Chad Prather, who is just, I think, just really wise and also funny, but also really wise, when he kind of put to his Instagram what I couldn't put into words. And he said, the reason you feel Charlie's death so deeply is because grief doesn't measure itself by proximity. It measures itself by meaning. You didn't have to know him personally to feel the sting of his absence, because when a violence like this goes silent, something in the atmosphere shifts. So when a voice like his goes silent, something in the atmosphere shifts. And that is so true. That is exactly what I felt. I felt, you know, the suffering, and, you know, I had a lot of attachment to Charlie. I also had a lot of attachment to Irina Zartuska, who also was brutally murdered in Charlotte, North Carolina. And now all the school shootings that we've become so numb to, that, you know, a company like Escape Zone actually creates backpacks for kids that are bulletproof. It's like, why are we thinking that way as a country? And what made this particular assassination so unique? And the things that made it so unique from a medical perspective, in terms of how much suffering I've seen with my own patients, is that, you know, Steve, you kind of hit the nail on the head. We witnessed this in real time. Now, I did not watch that video. I do not want to watch that video. I don't need that in my brain. I know my limitations. But many people witnessed it in real time with all the digital tech we have. And a lot of people can identify with him, even, and her, really, you know. And for me, you know, I have a 23-year-old daughter that could have been sitting on that train, and no one helped her. That empathy is what we attach ourselves to that person. And it makes us human. We're feeling, and that's all normal.
Very well stated, Doctor. And you know, I had the distinct privilege of meeting and talking to Charlie Kirk. This was some time ago, and got to see, also meet his wife. And you talk about one of the nicest guys. I mean, the man, a gentle man, not a hateful bone in his body. And I have to say that, you know, a piece, it almost felt like a piece of a lot of us just was ripped from us with his death. And I just, how you describe that, I noticed a disturbance in the atmosphere, or in the, I don't know, in the universe with that. And it kind of began as well with that poor, beautiful young lady on the train. Yes.
Irina.
Yes. And I should really practice saying her name. I don't want to slaughter it, but there's something definitely taking place right now. And then the vitriol from the left, but man, thanks for addressing this, because, there's a lot to this. Go ahead.
Well, yeah. when we have something like this happens, like similar situation with 9/11 or Kobe Bryant or JFK, we call that collective grief. That means we collectively as a society are grieving over this person that we didn't know personally. It's different from a personal death, but we didn't know them personally. Now, the biggest difference, and probably the reason why it's so unsettling, Doug and Steve, is because we live in a country, and like all those other cases I just discussed, we are living in a country that is deeply divided, like in all of our bones. Now, did I agree with everything Charlie Kirk said? Absolutely not. I didn't agree with everything, and I shouldn't agree with everything. If I run a company, everyone shouldn't agree with me. We should all have our differences here and there. But the truth is biblically, I agreed with everything. And I'm pretty deep, and I could never, and I was always excited to hear his debates when it came to a biblical topic. He was so rooted in Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. But for us, we can't even fathom why anyone would actually be happy about his death. And so that has added another layer of grief that we're dealing with subconsciously that we don't even realize, because we just can't even imagine it.
Amen.
Let me say something because Dr. Williams talked about collective grief. I think one of the best statements why Christians all over the world are grieving is because he was a member of the body of Christ. And we're taught biblically that we're all members of the body of Christ. And one rejoices, we all rejoice. When one is lost for whatever reason, and you know, the scripture, Dr. Williams and Doug, they came to me, except a grain of wheat, die in the ground, it won't bring forth fruit. But I think the collective grief, especially amongst Christians, and I want to share this, and I'm going to turn right over to Dr. Williams, the attitude of the left is not just killing Charlie Kirk or MAGA or Donald Trump supporters. It's killing Christians. And one of the things that's so disheartening is to see when I saw Charlie's wife and I saw her boldness, and I don't know anybody who could have that composure outside of the living God. And when I saw their little girl with their little pigtails taking daddy's hand and the little boy that'll never know his father except by reputation, I'm telling you what, that's an impressive witness because people all over the world are basically feeling lost. So Doug, we're taught that, and the scripture's true, we're all members of the body of Christ. So it's like, you know, when you lose a limb, talking about a hand, leg, whatever, you know the loss, even though the reference in genetic reference, you know you once had it. And this is, Dr. Williams, I think why this podcast with Doug is so important, because we need to know how to grieve, and we need to know this, there is a time for grief. And in your practice, what typically is the time frame to grieve? Because some people never get over it, some people get over it, and it's by the grace of God, any of us get through it. So please address that.
Yeah, you know, grieving is a verb, and it's forever. When you lose someone, you lose a part of you. And this is definitely one of those cases. When you lose a spouse who, you know, you've been married for 40 years, and this person's just like, you know, always there. It's your comfort. It's your safety. It's the closeness. The person knows everything about you. You will grieve forever, but it comes in stages and it comes in degrees and it comes layered. You know, it's your favorite song that you hear and all of a sudden and it could be 15 years later and you all of a sudden just start crying. And it could be 6 months later. Now, so we give space and room to everyone to grieve because everyone will grieve differently. It's different grieving for an 80-year-old mom versus a, 18-year-old daughter. So there's different levels of grieving. And so I always say it's a verb, and you're going to go in and out of all the different stages of grief, you know, whether it's anger, whether it's depression, you know, whether it's bargaining, if only I would have, if only I could have, if I should have done this or I should have done that. I mean, all of these things are part of human nature. But I will tell you that, you know, later in the show, we'll go through some of the things that I've been teaching my patients to do. And I've done a couple radio shows on and podcasts on because I really want to spread the word on what you can do. But really holding on to scripture, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. We have been called, who have been called according to his purpose. And in Genesis, Deuteronomy, God actually tells us that he will not reveal everything to us. We do not know everything. We don't know the reasons why. And we also know, you know, in this particular instance, that eternal life is greater than our life here on earth. And if this is happening because of that, if this is happening so that it lights a fire under all these lukewarm people, then it will have been worth it. But we don't know that. We don't know why all of this happened. And so the grieving process is really hard. And I'll tell you what else. This grieving process here is particularly difficult for several reasons. We were so attached to him as if we knew Charlie Kirk, okay? And now, I do want to be sensitive to the fact that we're not talking about just Charlie Kirk. We're talking about a husband that might have passed away, or a wife, or a child, or whoever. We are attached to these people, but what made this particular death so hard is that it was a violent death. There was no getting ready for it. It wasn't like a natural death where you had time to prepare, time to say your goodbyes. It was like done. Like you're never going to get to talk to Charlie Kirk again in person on this earth. And also the social media, digital marketing and algorithms that push forward the narrative of what you're looking at is further dividing this country. So literally, I belong to an amazing Bible study here, and there's people within that Bible study that have different opinions because of how they're viewing this person, and through the lens of what the digital algorithms are feeding into their feeds. So we have to be very smart and very mindful of what we are exposing ourselves to, especially during this very raw time where we have had a visceral experience experiencing his death. It became very, like there was an uneasiness within our bodies as if there's just something wrong, like that uneasy air that Doug was talking about.
Go ahead, Doug, because again, you and I talked shortly after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, and now the ongoing Dr. Williams, and I wouldn't even call it rhetoric. I would call it demon spew, because there is a hatred for everything that is good, everything that's beautiful, everything that God created, normal husband and wife marriage. But what is interesting is that, in essence, there's an emotional, these are my words, don't blame Dr. Williams for this or Doug, but there's an emotional vampirism going on where the people are literally feasting on this event, Doug and Dr. Williams, and they're drawing, I would say this, a demonic blood transfusion, and it's only going to increase. So, Dr. Williams, it's important, I think, that the viewers to this broadcast understand that just as we go through a grieving process, that the point is that when someone capitalizes on the death of a righteous, now, obviously, Jesus is our best example of that. But those who hate, they have a unique taste for evil. And so, you know, one of the goals we have tonight, Doug, and you and I discussed it, and Dr. Williams, is to help people get through this grieving period and also to understand the stress. We'll get into that soon, too. But Dr. Williams, the stress of this has to be causing your phone to ring off the hook. And or your email to fill up or whatever. But the point is that it's something we have to go through. And you said something very important. When anybody, and I had a brother who was murdered, cold-blooded. And the thing is, that was my only brother. Doug, you certainly are at no loss for just horrible things happening to your son and your daughter. But it does something to your brain, okay? And the brain chemistry, you can rationalize, but I like what you said, because sometimes you just basically break down and start weeping because you don't know. But then that's where the comfort of the scripture comes in. So would you deal with the sustained, I think you just touched on it, but the sustaining memory that pops up at different times when maybe a sound, a song, a symbol, a sign, whatever it is, that, please address that.
Yeah, this is definitely something that what we call in medicine that comes in waves. So, you know, the waters can be nice and still, and all of a sudden you hear that song or you see that picture or you go to a restaurant. And of course, these are all associations. You're associating all these things with a loved one that passed. And these associations are so strong because they're very, very emotionally triggering, because we are human. We're supposed to feel. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we give everyone space and time to grieve on their own terms. As long as they're moving in the right direction and they are not having any red flag warning signs, you know, they stop eating, they start turning to drugs or alcohol, they stop sleeping, they're withdrawn, they don't want to hang out with anyone, they're having unusual behaviors like overspending, or, you know, in the case of a lot of men, overworking. A lot of men who lose a spouse or a child just start working a lot because as if that's a good thing to go do, because they're doing good. But really it's just an avoidance tactic and a coping mechanism. And it's not healthy because what they're really doing is they're stuck in fight or flight. And the being stuck in fight or flight from a medical perspective is being stuck in a constant state of adrenaline rush, like, you know, the hormones that give you energy and to fight or run away. But when you're stuck in fight or flight, you're constantly releasing these hormones and you're constantly making cortisol. And unfortunately, long-term consequences of that is a weakened immune system, is chronic illnesses like diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, cancers, you know, of course, leaky gut issues, all these problems, can't focus, ADD, memory issues, memory loss, dementia, all these things start popping up because you didn't deal with the grief initially. And so it's very, very important to process that grief with a counselor, especially if you're feeling stuck. And really, it's really important to do that and to, you know, always, what I say is get unstuck, especially with the loss of a child. But also, it's very important to recognize that. And it's also very important for the loved ones who are around you to recognize that. You know, it broke my heart when I heard a mom who, a lady who lost her husband, and they were very, very close. And the kids started spending more time at their friends' houses because they didn't want to hang out with mom because she was just always depressed, instead of, you know, trying to really process all of that with her. These are really deep-seated emotions that we need to deal with and not hide under the cover.
Amen. Steve, continue, please.
Well, I think too that it's important. What can we do? Because here's the thing. Obviously, with what you're talking about, cortisol, what you're talking about, fight or flight, you know, I've lived in that world for a lot of my life. And I can tell you, and so have you, Doug, and I'm not speaking for you, but it takes its toll on our bodies.
It does.
And I mean, it truly does, you know. Yeah. And would you just share, like, some of the real supplements? I'm not talking about, you know, voodoo nonsense. What I mean by voodoo nonsense.
Yeah.
So would you share, for instance, I come in, Doug comes in, Mrs. Kirk comes in, God bless her.
Yeah.
She needs a helping hand. I'm not talking about antidepressants. I'm not talking about SSRIs, but I'm talking about nutritional supplements that are foundational. So I'm, let's say I'm talking to you, share a protocol that you've developed, because this is your area. This is your expertise.
Yeah, for sure.
Need it. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. So the first thing, supplements would be one of the last things we actually do. The first thing we would do if we're focusing just on lifestyle medicine is making sure you are sleeping, because that is restorative. You have got to sleep. Now, we do have a supplement called My Vitamin Magnesium, and it is an amazing magnesium. It really, that brain that doesn't shut off at night. I've had so many patients tell me they're up all night long praying for Erica, praying for the kids, you know, doing that. What's this world coming to? What's this country coming to? Why are we so divided? All these thoughts are racing in their mind. This is a very good supplement that has really, the side effect profile is amazing. It's almost none. I hardly ever get any phone calls about it. Unlike a lot of other magnesiums that do have a lot of gut disturbances, this is a very calming magnesium supplement. So you take one or two about 30 minutes before bedtime. And actually, if you take that with a little bit of bedtime tea from Yogi Tea Company, man, you're going to really hopefully shut that brain off and your body will get the rest that it needs. So sleep is extremely important. The other thing we try to tell people is just to have a routine. The routine you had before the grieving period, it should be the same routine now. Now that gets you from day to day. Sometimes just having little projects and little things to do, gets, especially in that early period of the grieving process, gets you through that day to day. Now, this is very important also for children to see that, okay, we have a routine. We're doing, we're going to the same baseball practices. We're going to school like before. We're having dinner like before. So routine is very important because it's something something you can control, and it's something that gives you comfort in knowing that, okay, everything seems, you know, quote, normal, while you're allowing your body to go through this fight or flight, this numbness. How many people told you that they were numb, right? How many people described numbness? Yeah. And that they were, I had never felt that to that degree. But boy, did I feel it with his death. And like you said, Steve, is when somebody who is of the same faith passes away, it's much deeper, in my opinion. It's much deeper because a part of you does sort of die. Now, the other thing we do recommend is, you know, going back into your exercise, getting your exercise, getting a good solid nutrition, good macronutrients, proteins, fats, a lot of vegetables, things like that. One thing that's probably one of the most important things and one of the most important things that you can do to help process this grief is to actually have social engagement again. It will increase a happy hormone that helps calm down the cortisol response, and that is called oxytocin. When you socially engage yourself with family and friends, that is what you're doing. You want to give people hugs. You want to you also want to do things for people, because doing things for people from a gratitude perspective is very therapeutic for yourself and obviously the person that you're treating or being with. So socially engaging yourself, being with your family, friends, and your church family, super important while you're processing this. However, we do have a supplement pack. It is called the Calm and Restore. And the reason why we made this pack, primarily our vision when we made this pack, is the person who is running themselves ragged, just doing a lot all day, every day, just saying yes to, you know, the person who can't say no to anything. So that person who has three kids at home, a husband, a full-time job, is just being pulled all over the place. They're not sleeping. They're stressed out all the time, and they're not managed. Now, being stressed sometimes propels people and actually is a dopamine maker, so it can be a good thing. But for a lot of people who don't know how to process stress, it can actually be a downer. And so we made this special pack called the Calm and Restore. And Steve, do you have the website that people can go to up there?
It's on the right now. It's being broadcast simultaneously with you.
So. Yeah, but the link is myvitamin777.com because it links to our show tonight. Okay. So people know what we're talking about, because we're talking, Dr. Williams is talking specifics. We're giving specific information, and there's so much data. What Dr. Williams has done is condensed it for tonight's show. So it's myvitamin777.com.
That's right. Myvitamin777.com. You can get the magnesium there, or you can get the Calm and Restore, especially if you're feeling like you're in fight or flight, you're not sleeping, and if you're stressed out, regardless of whether it's because of what's happening right now or just because, you know what, that's your state of life and that is no place to live.
Yeah, I can tell you. It's not even a good vacation trip.
No, it isn't. And it's really really harmful on your body. Having that chronic stress, like I said, leads to so many, just devastating things that I have to deal with later as a, you know, as a physician with my patients who have this constant adrenaline surge day in and day out. I'm telling you, it is one of the biggest causes of obesity, of diabetes, of heart disease, high blood pressure, all these things. You have got to have, number one, self-awareness that it's happening to your body, and then a plan of action. Now, one of the benefits to the supplements is it is something relatively easy to do. So you can start the My Vitamin Calm and Restore pack, something easy to do, and you're doing something for yourself, which increases self-awareness of the need for self-care, because you're on this earth and you know, I'll tell you what, one of the best things you can do too is start journaling. When your thoughts are all jumbled in your head and you don't know which way is up and which way is down and you're stressed out, start journaling. And I'll give you a personal example of when I actually did this after 9/11, I was 8.5 months pregnant and 9/11 happened. And I just sat there and thought to myself, what in the world is going on? And, you know, so I started journaling, and it wasn't until I got to the fifth and sixth pages that I realized how fearful I was that I was bringing a child into this world. And finally, I just let it go. I just said, God, I'm going to cast this anxiety on you because I know you care about me. And I'm going to keep having kids because I'm going to, you know, because the thoughts of, do I want to bring any more kids to this world? Do I want to do, you know, blah, 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 all these thoughts. So journaling is incredibly important to uncover the subconscious thoughts that you're having. And I'll tell you why it's so important is because it gives you a sense of what am I going to do about it? It gives control back to you right now when you're living in a world of where all your thoughts are all mumbled and jumbled in your brain and you can't make sense of all of this. When you start journaling, and again, it's that fifth, sixth, seventh page maybe, by the time you finally realize what the real problem is when you can finally do something about it. And I'll tell you, so many people who have journaled this time around have found a calling and a purpose to serve Jesus Christ at a much higher level than they are now. And again, to stop being lukewarm in a country where we're afraid to post about Charlie Kirk. I mean, I posted and I lost 10 followers within an hour and I couldn't believe it. I've never ever lost followers on Instagram and I lost 10. I didn't care, but the idea that we're that divided was so disheartening to me. How can you not be sad about this man who was doing good, who passed away? But again, it's the lens in which we're viewing his death, and it's the algorithms and digital tech that is allowing so much division to happen right now. So journaling, really top of the list in terms of what you can do to help process what's going on in your brain. There's so much research behind it that shows the calming effect of the journaling and also the calming effect of the central nervous system that's just, you know, going crazy right now because, you know.
Well, it narrows the focus too, does it not? Because
it
does. Most people don't journal. I don't, okay, but I talk a lot and that's journaled. And I know Doug talks a lot, but you know, my daughter Stephanie journals every day and mm-hmm. she doesn't journal until she spends, you know, her time alone with the Lord. But I look at her journal. I mean, I don't read it unless she shows it to me. I don't read other people's mm-hmm. mail, but and I never have, never will. But the point being is I understand it now, listening to you, it narrows your focus. And I would say this, I'll add this, don't go on Faces of Death book and look for a community that will sustain you or uplift you, because those people, you don't even know them. And how many people are taking their lives because of that hellish social media? And it broke down personal contact. When you grieve, when I grieve, when Doug grieves, we want a hug. And I tell people, one of the things that tells me God is alive is the hug, the transference of emotion, the transference of acceptance, the human touch. And I'm telling you, and I know this, we'll talk about it, but social media has destroyed human contact, human relationship, and it's designed to do that. It's fragmenting, and it's a form of neuro-linguistic programming. And for people that maybe don't get it yet, MK Ultracation, that's not alteration, it's altercation, mind control is being exhibited every single day with every single social media post, and people become, how should I say that, more dependent on their AI God than Jesus Christ. And this is happening. So it's important with journaling. And like when you journaled after 9/11 and stuff, you said about the fifth or sixth page, you know, the thing is Doug says it this way. He keeps copious notes. Okay. I thought, what are those? And I'm kidding you, Doug, but I mean, he does, he's an investigator and he keeps copious notes. I've tried, and now I'm coming to where I can't do anymore, to keep it all in my head. Well, that's not organization and that's not my strong point. But if you will continue on this, because here's the thing. Tonight, I really feel and sense in the Lord Jesus Christ that we're going to help a lot of people. Not we. We're the hosts and you're the doctor, but you're helping people walk through what their thoughts are. And in essence, you're journaling all the viewers' thoughts as you bring up these points. So continue on.
That's absolutely right. When you're journaling, research actually shows that writing out helps us process the information and helps calm the fight or flight sympathetic nervous system, which, you know, that uneasy feeling you have, it's almost like a panic attack on the inside. That's adrenaline. That's epinephrine. That's norepinephrine. That's cortisol. That the journaling actually helps calm the release of those hormones down. It also helps you stop that rumination process of thinking about this over and over and over and over. And then also the bargaining of, I wish he was wearing a, you know, all these things that your brain goes, I wish he would have been doing this or that, or turned his head or whatever it was.
We play that.
Yeah. We play that over and over in our head. But here's really, when you journal, it allows you to break down this big idea into small digestible pieces that your brain, which is being fried by all these hormones, can actually finally start to process. And again, one of the most important things that's happening is we are finding our sense of purpose in this, and we are being intentional, and we are being proactive. Now, look at the way Christians have responded in this tragic death. You know, we are not loitering. We are not killing. We are just going to Jesus Christ. And that, you know what? That is so biblical and so scriptural. That is exactly what he wants us to do. Without him, we're nothing anyway. So, and he is our everything. So again, just being intentional about being with family and friends, faith, you know, going to scripture, finding the scripture that means and speaks to you specifically, taking digital fasts. We're going to start doing that. At least I am. I don't know if everyone in my family is, but I want to feel what it feels like not to have a cell phone for 24 hours. But one of the biggest things too that a lot of my patients find really comforting is just being out in nature, going on hikes, feeling the grass in your feet, just kind of, and what that's doing is that's sending a message to your brain that everything's okay. You're regrounding yourself. So you're balancing out your hormones again. So yeah, definitely all of that is definitely important. And again, we made that supplement pack, Calm and Restore, specifically for stressful people who live under a lot of stress. But in a time like this, it couldn't be more appropriate. The Calm and Restore pack also has all of your daily vitamin needs. So it's got the really good fish oil, the really good multivitamin, the K2 D3. It's got that special magnesium, but it also has a little CoQ10 for a little extra energy. And then also it's got something called cortisol, which really helps balance out your nervous system. It really helps support that anxious mind, the ruminating mind, the mind that doesn't stop. So it really helps balance, and it won't make you depressed, and it won't make you super happy. It helps balance. And that is the key, is to balance everything. And it won't, you know, this works great. Some of my patients who are on it, they're like, this is amazing. But all my patients get the benefit of learning how to eat, going to sleep on regular schedule, learning what kind of exercise program to go on, learning how to journal. One of the most powerful types of journaling, there's different types of journaling. One of the most powerful types of journaling is a gratitude journal. And what it makes you do is it makes you look all day long. What you're really doing is training your brain to look for the good things that are happening in your life so that you get to write them down at nighttime so you can remember them and be intentional about remembering them. The other thing I teach my patients to do is rate their day the day before, on a scale of one to five. Five being great, one being not so great. And then the next question I have them journal on is why? Why was your day a five? What happened that day? Because what you want to do is bring self-awareness to what's bringing you joy and what's bringing you down. Because sometimes if we just live in this world, we don't know what it is. Some days we just feel great. Some days we don't. But when you have a more awareness with that, that is really, really helpful. So all those things combined is what's going to help.
If I can ask a question here, which is related to what you're saying, I've spoken with quite a few people lately, and there seems to be like a One common theme is depression. Okay. Certain people are depressed. Okay. People I would otherwise think wouldn't be are depressed. How do you address that? I mean, that obviously calm and restore, but what about depression from unknown causes? Okay. You know, everything's fine in one's life. Everything is, you know, seemingly the person has everything, and all of a sudden, or not all of a sudden, but they're saying, you know what, man, I haven't felt this bad ever. Yeah. How do you address that?
You know, Doug, there's always a root issue going on, whether it's fear of, you know, the shoe falling from underneath them, you know, in terms of, hey, everything's going great. When's something bad going to happen? You know, so living in that sense of fear, there's maybe attack on their safety for some reason, the fear, especially with what's going on in this country right now. So there's always something going on. So we always try to tease that out. You know, like in this instance here, people will be going through depression. Right now, it's shock and awe. Their nervous system is shocked. And so they're having just a floods of all these thoughts and feelings and emotions that they haven't processed yet. And until they start journaling and maybe going to counseling and really deal with the grief and what's really going on, they're going to continue having that. But people who have depression, a lot of times, there's usually a root cause that we need to tease out. And a lot of it, when it's not blatantly obvious, a lot of times it is fear of the unknown. Again, fear that everything is going so great. When is the bottom going to fall out? I actually had a patient who's going through this right now, who has been losing sleep and has an amazing marriage, an amazing company. He owns a company. He's third generation, same company, very well off. They've got all the money they could possibly need. The kids are all doing great. So all of a sudden, for the past several weeks, he's been suffering with a lot of anxiety, and then it's also manifesting in some depression, which a lot of times anxiety and depression coexist. So for sure, there's a cause. And, you know, I had him start seeing a therapist, and the therapist called me, and it's exactly what she said. He's just waiting for something bad to happen in his life. That's common. That's very common. And it's also human nature to feel that way. And so you just have to learn all these positive modalities, you know, positive self-talk, visualization, all these things that help pull people out of that.
Interesting. Yeah. At least two of the individuals I'm thinking about are middle-aged females who are friends of friends, but who really aren't necessarily, don't, I mean, again, well, looking for the root cause, I guess, is the issue. One tried counseling, and this is coming from someone close to both of us. And the counseling was certainly not Christian based or not based in reality. You know what I mean? When I say reality, I'm talking about, you could tell the
Let me help you here.
Please, jump in.
Yeah. The basis of Christian counseling is we understand, I'm not a counselor, but they understand, I'm not passing myself off of that. I'm just saying that we as Christians understand that God is the ultimate authority, that God is the ultimate provider of our blessing, that God is only on our side, because the first thing that's when something happens bad, we either blame the devil or ourselves, because, you know, shoulda, woulda, or God, how could I have been so stupid and missed that, you know? And so the deal is that journaling, and I find this, one scripture a day, and then praying this way, Lord, today, let me be a blessing to someone, somewhere, somehow that you provide, that I can allow you to work through to be a blessing. And that's what happens, doctor, when you come on this show. People will let Doug or I know, or us both know that, wow, she really said this and it set me free. The world is in bondage without Jesus. I tell everybody this. I've been to counseling, both with Christian counselors and non-Christian counselors. The non-Christian counselors bring you into a world, and this is my opinion, of psychobabble. I mean, you know, and the thing is that the Christian counselors will prove through the word, but they also understand psychology. I'll turn it right back to you, Dr. Williams. What's going on? But without Jesus, it cannot make sense because it won't make sense. And there's more to life than just, oh, God, help me get through this week. Or, Lord, you know, like Dr. Williams, patient, because things are going so good. You go, well, it's been going good. But see, we always, is this not true, Dr. Williams? When things are going good, we have the expectation that they will end, and then we will not be things will not be going good, excuse me, and that's when our faith comes in, and that's where Jesus never fails. So, you know, a lot of people are being confronted with Dr. With your advice, Doctor, especially with Charlie Kirk, and I think an attitude of gratitude will basically keep us from the deception reception. I'm just making this rhyme on purpose, and that is where it all began, because Romans says that when men quit being grateful, that's when all forms of deception, destruction, and perversion came in. So the attitude of gratitude, what does the scripture say? A glad heart makes merry the bones, you know? Well, I think that this is something that you quoted in Romans 8:28, but the effect of the word of God as our center of our focus. Look, I don't know when I'm going to go. There have been times I almost died and I thought, yep, I know when I'm going. And you know, the thing is that it's important that we can supplement with what's good and what's acceptable, because you as a physician, as a nutritional health counselor, everything you do, it's, I would call this, you're a composite, and I would say depository of information, and you're like, if you will, an axle. I'm sorry for this metaphor, but you're like an axle where all the spokes come in. But with your advice, the wheel keeps on running. So, you know, when most people wake up in the morning or go to bed at night, there's a thing called fresh water or hot water. And I don't think people recognize that water, even the scripture, is life. So, I'm not trying to preach right now, but as you have found, all of these things are spoke. I'll say this. They're not only speaking, but they're speaking to the center, and the center is Jesus. And without our faith, you know, a glad heart does make merry the bones. And you're talking about those nutritional supplements. And so we're actually covering stress. And Doug, we had talked, Dr. Williams and I had emailed back and forth, stress, sleeplessness, sorrow. And, you know, we're told that sorrow and mourning will flee away, that God will wipe away every tear. So, Dr. Williams, you know, as the supplements you've designed, and this is important because, you know, we've got about 12 minutes left, but one of the things that's happening, and I'm just going to ask you to address this, because of the poor food quality, the true word nutrition is passing away, because all the psycho manipulators of what God created are destroying it. So, you know, what I'm telling people, don't forget that it's one thing to have freeze-dried food, good. It's one thing to have grains and beans and all that stuff, that's good. But where everyone falls short, and I've been at this a long time, this being the prep movement, the survival movement, is supplement. Because people don't recognize scurvy. I'm not talking about the political scurvy. I'm talking about the biological scurvy. Vitamin C is a big deal. So what you've done, obviously with myvitamins777.com, you've put in to, I guess you'd say, a regimen. Will you address that? Because we're not only talking about stress, we're talking about nutritional deficiency that's going to be used to manipulate the masses into into becoming, if you will, my word, mind-controlled zombies, and they do that by starvation diets. They give you enough carbs to keep you alive, but it's not nutritional. They rob you of... The first thing anybody does that takes over is they cut off the protein. So will you address that, because we've got like 10 minutes left?
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple things, Doug, with your women who are in middle age in years, hormones plays a huge role. So that's like the root cause. And that, especially in perimenopause, that's actually why I started, mastering hormones, you know, like 20 something years ago. I started taking master classes in hormone manipulation with bioidentical hormones, is because I had these women coming in who were in their mid to late 40s that felt like they were going crazy, depressed, anxious, don't know why, everything's going great, why is this happening to me? And it turns out they just needed to balance their hormones. And so,
I don't mean to interrupt, but can that be done through supplementation, or must that be done under a physician's guidance with replacement? Yeah.
So perimenopause is before they officially need hormones. Menopause is when they need hormones. And then obviously when you're having normal periods, that's not a big deal. But in between that period, a lot of times between ages 42 and 52, these women literally feel like they're going crazy. And yes, supplementation definitely helps, some key supplementation, but really addressing lifestyle medicine, the right nutrition, the right exercise, sleep, social engagement, stress management, that has an incredible, incredible effect on balancing hormones. And the reason why is there's something called a hormone hierarchy, where insulin and cortisol are on the bottom of this hormone hierarchy. The sex hormones are way on top. If we can control the insulin and cortisol, which, by the way, Common Restore helps do, if we can control the insulin and cortisol, then we have a fighting chance at controlling all the other hormones on top of it. And what affects cortisol the most, believe it or not, is hypoglycemia day in, day out. So eating foods that have high in sugar, and then you crash, you have a emergency response by your body, and you've got to eat some sugar again, otherwise you're going to crash again. And what this manifests in people is literally hypoglycemia. You start to get shaky, and your heart might even start racing because your body's in fight or flight. And if you eat a crappy diet, then you're going to be in fight or flight all day long. And do you think it's going to dysregulate your hormones? Absolutely. And so it's going to make the sensation and the feeling of perimenopause and the moodiness and depression and all that stuff associated with it feel a lot worse. I've gotten so many people out of that horrible feeling of perimenopause just by working on their diet, giving them key supplements like the Common Restore Pack, and then also, you know, helping them sleep and doing all this other stuff. So really regulating that cortisol and regulating the insulin. So that is number one. Number two is, if you are going to get a counselor and you're a Christian, then that needs to be the number one question, because the book by which we, our manual for living is the Bible. And if we are being given advice about how to make ourselves feel good, and, you know, it's not you, it's the world, blah, 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 all this other crap, then you are given false advice. You are not going to get better. It's going to feel like it's empty advice. So definitely, your counselor should first and foremost be a Christian, if that's what you are. If you're not a Christian, then it doesn't matter. You should probably not find a Christian counselor, because their bias is going to be towards, you know, healing through Jesus Christ. Now, supplement wise, what I have found in my practice, and this is not my opinion, because, you know, just my opinion would personally for me not be good enough. And in fact, my first 15 years of practice before I went functional, the latter 15, so I've been in practice almost 30 years. The first 15 years of practice, I actually told patients not to take any supplements because I didn't trust them. I knew enough about supplements at the time before I studied functional medicine that most of them were crappy. Most of them were old. Most of them were sitting on a shelf forever. Most of them did not even get absorbed very well. I actually have this memory in my head when I was in training that we actually had an x-ray of a guy who had a supplement still in his colon, which means it was completely undigested in the small intestine. He was literally taking it in his mouth and then pooping it out. It's like, what's the point of that? So it really skewed my opinion of supplements for a very long time, because I really needed proof. And so then when I started doing functional medicine, I started doing something called functional labs, which we are actually assessing micronutrients. So we're assessing your level of B12, your alpha lipoic acid, your CoQ10, all these things in the red blood cells. And so what I found was I was shocked. I was just very shocked that the majority, including myself, who had a really good high vegetable diet. I love vegetables. Fruit are okay, but I really love 5-6 cups of vegetables, good healthy proteins, healthy fats. I was deficient in nutrients. I don't drink soda. I don't, you know, I do drink coffee, which is, you know, that's fine. But, you know, I don't drink soda or sugar teas or anything like that. I don't do bad things like that. I hike all the time. I do zone 2 workouts. I weight train, blah, blah, blah. I was deficient and I couldn't believe it. And I was really in particular deficient in omega-3. And what's really interesting is what I found out after doing about 1,000 labs now is I have not found a person who isn't deficient in omega-3. That's why every single med pack that we sell on myvitamin777.com has fish oil in it, because fish oil is so important for so many reasons. It's one of the key anti-inflammatory things that you need in your body. And yet most of us don't eat enough of it. And we can't get enough through our diet, and then we're deficient. And so then we're pro-inflammation. Well, who wants to be pro-inflammation? The other thing too, when you start taking fish oil, the right good kind of fish oil, if you have hard calluses on the bottom of your feet, they go away. That's a visual indication of, oh my gosh, it's working. You know, I've treated, and again, this is not medical advice for anyone. This is just my opinion, and this is all information. But, you know, we've treated asthmatics with fish oil. So these are things that are real and they really work. Now, what I needed to know is it clean? That was really important. Are my supplements clean? Yes, they are. And when I say my supplements, what I mean is the professional grade supplements I use for my patients. If they're not clean, if they're contaminated, now I'm doing bad, not good for my patient. Number two, are they well absorbed? How well are they absorbed? Do I actually see indications when I recheck labs that, oh my gosh, all these markers are normal now? And yes, I do. With our supplements, I definitely see that trend towards normalization of labs. Number three, are they working? Ask my patients. And more importantly, there's a 97% retention rate with our supplements because people love how they feel with them. It actually makes a difference. And you know, what people don't realize is when you eat a vegetable, the phytonutrients in vegetables actually go inside of the cell. There's receptors inside of the cell that the phytonutrients, which are in plants, attach to, that tell the DNA to transcribe and make anti-inflammatory things. If you don't have the right amount of those, and if you are deficient in nutrients, then you are not telling your cells what to do at an optimal level. Now, I'm also not a take 50 supplements kind of a person, because we really do focus on lifestyle first, and then we add in the supplements, because you've got to do it all. You cannot just do the supplements. Now, for some people, I have had some people who are like, just give me the supplements. It's an easy place for me to start. That's fine. As long as we know in the back of our mind, we're going to then prescribe a full regimen of lifestyle medicine. This is so important. If you have a good regimen already, if you already have a good sleeping habits, you already have good digital break time, you already have good relationships that you can count on, when you are processing something like the trauma that we're going through right now, you will already be ahead of the game. You will already start to sense your heart palpitating. You already start to sense the need to go and take a breathing break. You're already taking the sense that maybe you need a day off just with the kids and just to kind of shut down. I took a day off last week because my brain just needed it. It couldn't think. And so being aware and having that self-awareness and already having things in place, really, really important.
Yeah, and thanks for mentioning that, because I used to call those mental days off MDOs. that is extremely important. And by the way, I think social media, I can find really little redemption or redeeming value of social media. I'm talking about Facebook, you know, how they connect and all that stuff. But that about how you said, you know, get outside, Take a walk. Walk your dog. Man, that's the best therapy for me is walking my dog. So it's necessary to do that. Get the hell, get off of Facebook. Get off of these. Enough said. Steve, go ahead.
Well, I think it's important because now we're seeing, and Dr. Williams, you can address this too. We are seeing people yield their reason, their thinking, their ability to communicate. They're turning it over to artificial intelligence programs. And I'm on record as saying those are, in essence, techno Ouija boards. And as someone who's been in the deliverance ministry, you know, I mean, good night, a long time, open doors when people get in the occult. Well, when they open the doors to this stuff, it comes in. So now you have a new, I guess you'd say, group of people coming up you're going to have to deal with. Because when people yield themselves to artificial programming, you know, they want something else to do their thinking for them. And obviously we have an older audience, and you know, Doug and I mean, we're not spring chickens. I told Doug, I said, sometimes I feel like a sprung chicken, but the bottom line is that we're watching now, as bad as social media is, we're watching the vacuum cleaning or the sucking of human soul, human communication, human thinking, and they're taking it away from us and giving a solution. In essence, they're giving the knowledge of good and evil without the God who created us not to have the knowledge of good and evil, but to enjoy him. God put Adam and Eve in our, you know, a garden and communed with them every day. And now everything that's been given to us is being taken away to the point even where the Bill Gates of hell, in my opinion, pay attention, Bill Gates of hell, want to have everyone begin to worship an AI God. And it's already happening, Doug. Even and so have you thought about the ramifications, and I call them damnifications, of what people are going to be experiencing in the physiological realm and in the psychophysiological realm? Because we're watching people kill themselves. We're watching people go for diagnoses, and you don't know that the doctor that they scrub this medical journal, that medical journal, large language models, LLMs, you know, but what happens if the data they're scrubbing is false? And I can certainly tell you they're not going on biblical principles of health and life. So what are your thoughts? And probably are you coming into this yet, or are you seeing that you're going to have issues with it to help your patients?
What I'm seeing, honestly, is more of common sense starting to take over again. And thank God for that.
Amen.
Because, yeah, and truly, and you know, again, I have a patient bias. Everyone knows my religious beliefs. And, you know, if you follow me on Instagram or Facebook or anywhere else, if you know me as a patient, most of my patients are self-referrals or, you know, just hear about me from, I speak at a lot of women's conventions and things like that that are Christian based. So so definitely there's a bias there because we have a redeemer. We have this in our life. But I will say that in the world, my view of the world and the reason why Charlie Kirk was hated so much is he challenged these crazy ideas and these crazy ideals that were taking the place of common sense and how the world really should be, and normalizing that again versus normalizing all these other ideals that were primarily made to have that temporal joy and happiness that was very fake and also very fleeting. So what I'm seeing in my own little world that I live in and the outlets that I'm looking at is that common sense is taking over again. And I'll tell you what, nothing threatens the left like that, because everything they've been doing is literally the foundation that they built everything that they were trying to do, Their agenda was built on shaken ground. It was not built on a firm foundation like what we have on our side. What we have will never be taken down. And everything is crumbling, and that is creating a lot of chaos on that end. And chaos comes anger. Anger comes, you know, stupid things like the shootings and things like that. So I really think common sense is starting to make a comeback.
Well, praise God. And the rest of the world, I think this is something that, to my knowledge, and I know church history, I know that the history of revivals, whether it's the Welsh Revival of Wales, Azusa Street in California, and different places, Meltari in Indonesia, Like a Mighty Wind. I mean, I'm pretty familiar with that. But what I see is that, in essence, the life that Charlie Kirk lived and the hatred, you know, the perversion of everything that God created in the book of Genesis, he saw that it was good. At the end of the day, they hate God. And they hate God, they hate Christians, they hate anybody that tells them Jesus loves you, because it's not just a diversion from the Word of God, it's a perversion of everything against God. And I think that this is something that the world was looking for, someone to once again encourage their faith. And for the last, I'd say, 12 years, the left has controlled the dialogue. And so now it's important, because the truth is Jesus. And what made everybody crazy, I've never seen such a display of love for Jesus that I did in Erica Kirk. Openly, it just, I can't even imagine her internal woman going through that. But by the ability, there was a strength in her, Doug, and I know you saw it, that came from God. There is, that was not a normal, recently, what, a couple days, widowed woman. And, you know, when she told what her, she's telling her daughter, where did daddy go? Well, he had some work to do with Jesus. That's not the exact words. I thought, man, what a brilliant statement. And so now what's happening, and Doug and I'll talk about it, but you know this, Dr. Williams, that the country is divided. Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand.
That's right.
In essence, those who hate God, hate Christians, embrace perversion, embrace control, want to kill everyone, and those are the true genocidal maniacs. And in my opinion, annihilation, genocide, and extinction are three. If you put them in order, that's age, A-G-E, and we're in the new age, or the end of the age. And so what we're watching is those events taking place. So, ladies and gentlemen, what Dr. Williams is trying to tell all of us, we need to get, this is my words, but we need to get our biological house in order. We need to be thinking. We need to be grateful. And that journal, and I call it my attitude of gratitude, the more we start naming everything that we're grateful for, it focuses on God who gave us everything. And so, in essence, gratitude is an attitude, but it absolutely keeps us from the greatest, I would say, this travesty in the universe is Romans chapter 1. When men knew God, they didn't glorify him as God, became vain in their imaginations, and started worshiping the creature more than the creator. So, you know, would you like to, you know, again, ladies and gentlemen, it's myvitamin777.com. And, you know, Dr. Williams, thank you.
Yeah. And again, you know, going through all that, it's you're finding your sense of purpose in it. And that sense of purpose is very empowering. And I always, you know, you have to be careful that it's not a fake sense of purpose, just to have a coping mechanism to get through these grieving periods of your life. But sometimes you need it just to get through, you know, certain tasks and daily things that you want to do just to get through the moment. But your deep rooted sense of purpose that you discover through deep journaling is extremely therapeutic. So, and a lot of times God is involved in that deep sense of purpose. And so really identifying that and having action that you can take gives you something that you can do. You know, there's a part of me too, when I watched Erica, I also felt like, I wonder if this was rehearsed already in her head 100 times. because I know they've got to have been living in fear, because what we don't know is all the attacks that were circumvented that we don't even know about, and all the attacks that they got online and all this other stuff. And I wonder how much of it, and that really saddens me, because they have this great, perfect life, knowing that at any moment it could be over because of the work they were doing for Jesus Christ. And I think that too kind of hits a chord for some people, and also gives them a renewed sense of hope in our future with Christ, not so much just here on this earth. It also empowers us to be more bold and to do more. And so I think that all of this, what the devil meant for harm, God is using for good, because there has been so much good out of this. It's undeniable. So thank you so much for having me on your show today. I've truly enjoyed it. It's a blessing to me to share anything. My hope and prayer is that God has used me to maybe touch a few people and to help start the healing process. So,
well, thank you so much. And the answer to that, your statement, is absolutely. Because again, a word fitly spoken season, how precious, how sweet, different translations, but how important it is. So thanks for sharing from your experience. Again, myvitamin777.com. And ladies and gentlemen, the supplements, we'll get to it next time that Dr. Williams is on with us. But the number one thing I want people to understand, the food we are being served or being allowed to eat is basically deadly unless it's organic. And then that's open to now discussion. But it's critical that supplements, I don't want scurvy. I'm not talking about the political left or the cowardly right. I'm talking about the literal disease that good nutrition has basically done away with. And, you know, next time we come on to Dr. Williams, you come on with us, Doug and I, we need to talk about all the diseases that are coming back into our realm that were eradicated. For instance, tuberculosis.
Well, And more importantly, all the new freaking diseases we're seeing because of all the crap we're putting. I mean, that's what I'm seeing more of. Like the rates of autoimmune and cancers and all these things, crazy and out of control, in my opinion.
Well, not only in your opinion, but it's your experiential involvement and contact with it.
Yep,
and,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's not tough to see something that's bioweaponized, whether it's messenger RNA. You know, we can go on for hours, but again, God bless you. Big hugs in Jesus. And thank you for sharing your heart. Thank you for sharing your knowledge. And thank you for coming on with Doug and I tonight. And God bless you, and literally keep you in the shadow of his wings.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks, God. Blessings to you guys. Take care.
Thank you.
So much valuable information. Thank you, Doctor. Thanks. Appreciate that.
Bye.
Wow. Steve, I've got to say this. Well-timed advice. And boy, there is so much wrong with things today, Steve. And I know we're going to get into it right away. But I just want to say one thing about what I've been seeing on the across the social media universe. Okay. I have never seen, well, I take that back. I'm seeing more of these ridiculous, look, Steve, and I think you would agree with me. Is the official narrative of what happened last week, is it true? No, it's not.
No.
And not even in the least. But people have lost, in my view, have lost their minds. I just want to say this real quick.
Take your time.
It's really interesting because it's really interesting because there's absolutely no way, no reliable way. I mean, I said this, I think, every day this week. There's no reliable way for any person out there. I don't care what degree. I don't care if you're the best flipping sniper in the world. I don't care. I don't care what your credentials are. There's only one way, for example, when we look at this, to determine the origination of the shot, and that's by verifying its trajectory. In other words, looking at the entrance, looking at the damage done, and then the exit wound. Can you determine that by way of the videos anyone has saw? No. There's only one way to do that, Steve, and that is by seeing the body and being a competent pathologist, medical examiner, and following the trajectory. Or multiple, whatever it might be, whatever case. Otherwise, it's an exercise in futility. That's number one. Number two, in terms of the, I've seen people named and slandered. That's the guy who shot him on stage. Even right before the show, the guy they're pointing to is what was like a father to Charlie Kirk, Frank Turek. And Kevin pointed this out to me early on. Okay, no, and hell no. Okay, so we are being played at such a high level. And I just... Please, folks, understand the psychological warfare that's leashed upon us. Now, again, was there planning before? I believe there was. Was there contamination of the evidence and other things deliberate as well as incompetence? Yes, there was. This reminds me so much of the Butler attempted assassination or the murder of that fireman, Corey Compitore. This reminds me so much of that in many respects. So please understand. I mean, I don't know about you, Steve, but I've gotten so many emails saying, look at this video, look at that video, look at this. This couldn't happen this way. Man, okay, yes, there is a lot wrong, and I mean a crap ton of stuff wrong, but focus, I believe this, and look, do what you want, folks, but I believe our focus should be on the larger issues, things that we can, okay, you know, what was the response? What was the intended response? What was the motive behind this? And I truly believe, like you said, and I'm done after this, we put up a picture of Charlie and his wife and two children. That is, to me, that is motive by the demons who walk among us. They Yes. want to destroy God's creation and everything God has deemed good and our morals. I mean, so that's the higher level war. That's their target. That's their motive. If it's good, kill it. And if they can't kill the message, they're going to kill the messenger. And I'm last thing, you think this is a one-off? I'm going to say this: monitoring the hyperbolic and even operational information in various password protected chat rooms and forums and such, their plans are continuing. And I will say within 30 days, I would expect to see another high profile target taken out because of the very reasons I mentioned. Steve, I'm done to you, sir.
For instance, you're a private investigator. You are basically skilled in blood splatter evidence. And what's important is to realize that someone fouled the crime scene immediately. What's important for people to understand is Kash Patel, the head of the FBI, made a statement that I thought, here it is, the fix, that he would send the FBI agents there. And he said in a matter of hours, if anybody's been to Salt Lake and knows Salt Lake, Provo, and Orem, that doesn't even make sense, okay? Salt Lake, for the record, is the regional headquarters for this part of the FBI. And the geographical area. The other thing that's problematic is that when people can't see the apparent lies, they can't see the transparent evidence, okay? So in my opinion, and what I do, Doug, as you know this, I go into the different channels of people I know, different areas of the world, and to a man and or a woman, none of them buy the official lie that's been presented. The immediate, and I would call it this, it's the MK ultrafication of the nation to a point that they really believe if you will call it the deep state. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you can't get rid of the deep state, but it's our country's run by the deep state. You know, you can change lipstick on a pig color. You can dress it in a tutu and have a dancing pig. But the bottom line is it's still a pig. And so what's happening, in my opinion, whether it's the ballistics. Now, I know a little bit about, I've never been in the military, but I used to own indoor shooting ranges and legal gun dealers. And, you know, I know the calibers of choice. And I'm seeing Navy SEALs talking about this stuff. I'm seeing Tier 1 operators, Rangers, etc. And an OT-6 is not what most snipers use, especially military. They're going to use 308 or 300 Win Mag or 338 Lapuas or now 6.8. All that to say this. The whole story was, I would say this, sorry, Doug, I'm false.
No, that's all right. Take a minute or take a second if you need. I can let the words fall out of my mouth.
I got to go take some coughs up. Yeah. I'm sorry, everyone. It's a barometric allergy, and I hate it when people cough, and I don't want to cough on you. Doug, let me take a break and go get some stuff.
All right. Pretty soon, I'm sure they're going to have computers that not only have scratch and sniff capabilities, but you can actually catch from someone. I'm joking, of course, but back to my original thought. Look, we all have a part to play in exposing, researching and exposing things that we're familiar with, we're aware of, and where our interests lie. So a lot of times, I have no business actually commenting on anything to do with ballistics, because that's not my area. I don't have anything to do with that. The calibers, types of weapons, no, that's not my area of expertise. But again, arguing or debating over the type of weapon or the where the shot originated is, I don't want to say pointless, but I do want to say, without an honest post-mortem examination and a transparent report, just about that alone, we're never going to get the truth. I mean, think Arlen's. I mean, Arlen Specter just came back to life here, okay, with the magic bullet theory. Maybe that's, look, I don't know, but I will say this: we can speculate all day long. Because I've personally seen a bullet enter someone's right, around the right shoulder area, and exit through the thigh, through the thigh, the lower thigh. So I understand that I guess let's keep common sense and let's look at the bigger things that we can identify as potential or areas of discussion that we should look at, because as I mentioned again yesterday, the foremost expert on homicide textbooks and coursework, Vernon J. Gerberth, had said, look, you know, do it right the first time. Do it right, the investigation. Do it right the first time, because you're not going to have a second chance. Once a crime scene once and wherever that crime scene exists in multiple areas, the roof is a crime scene. The stage is a crime scene. The field, the woods is a crime scene. So once that is contaminated, everything else that follows is contaminated. So if you attempt to fit, for example, information, evidence, what have you, to if you attempt to explain that based on what you know of the crime scene, which has already been compromised, your conclusions will be false, will be erroneous. And I just want to make sure that people understand that, because now what is not necessarily or not false necessarily is, for example, indicators, and I posted in the chat a link to the behavioral analysis done by Scott Ross of the behavioral panel. And Scott Ross is one of four of the behavioral panel. I'm going to tell you what, his credentials are exceptional. But an evaluation, for example, of the behavior reaction of the shooter, in this case, the alleged shooter, to having the charges read to him. Very interesting analysis. So let's work with what we can, but above all, focus in my view, and you can tell me to, you know, pound sand, it's okay. But in my view, we have to discuss, number one, who benefits, and number two, if there was a larger conspiracy, which I believe there is, then, you know, what's the ultimate objective there? And understand that we're all being played. And that's what I believe. Steve is back. So, Steve, you just take it away, my friend.
Well, thank you. And I apologize. This time of year, I get barometric allergies. It goes into my chest. I hate coughing, especially when I'm on the air. So please forgive me. Thank you, Doug, for giving me a break. The thing that I want everyone to understand is when you ask who benefits, I've said it before, you can have no revolution without armed revolution. And that's what we watched Soros. We watched Obama. And I find it interesting why that guy's even walking with all the evidence that's against him for the greatest crime of the century, literally stealing the presidency from Donald Trump and literally doing everything they could to destroy him. And I want people to understand this. The whole world lies in the evil one. That means there's nothing outside of that statement. Jesus said that. But what's even more critical is every single head of every single Justice Department to the National Intelligence Apparatus, everybody bore false witness against President Trump. The I don't know what you call them, but I call them zombie cons, the Republicans, the weenies. Maybe I should call them the weenie cons, because in essence, they were silent. Even the biggest voices, where are they? And watching people like, in my opinion, get co-opted like Dan Bongino. Look, ladies and gentlemen, Doug and I met over real threats coming to me and my family. That's how we met. And they were so real that even the resident special agent in charge in Bozeman back then, you know, 25 years ago, said, hey, Steve, you're going to get no help from the agency, the FBI, because in essence, I was a persona non grata because of telling the truth. Fast forward, this has nothing to do with me, but it has everything to do with the basis of understanding. Doug, what you have laid out, I could hear it. The point that I want people to recognize is that it was a controlled narrative. It was a fouled evidence scene. You know, ballistics weren't even talked about for a couple hours. Everything was taken down from the canopy and everything. It was rushed. Why wasn't anybody securing the high ground? You know, you'll see people, shooters, even with any missiles on the top of the White House. But why was the security for Charlie Kirk so lax? And his wife was worried I saw statements from her in the past. Charlie thought that it was going to be the Ukrainians. I'm not saying they had anything to do with it, but he had real threats from real entities. Now, today, let's fast forward to today, some of the headlines. Why is Israel basically bugging the president of the United States and bringing him to the point where one of Alex Jones's guests, and this is his statement, that President Trump worried that President Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel would kill him. You saw that, did you not?
Yeah, and I think President Trump came to the realization, or at least his statements reflect the realization that he's being used, abused, backstabbed, and he's pissed. Go on.
Well, and so I go out into I would call it the noosphere. I'm using that as people who know in different spheres, and the rumors out there. And I asked, is this okay to talk about? Even in D.C., is there are specific nations putting bounties on the president of the United States up to $100 million in gold. Well, I don't want to see the gold price rise in that arena, and it's going to go much higher. But ladies and gentlemen, do you understand that even today, I believe it was, well, it would have been 8 hours behind us, but yeah, today, President Trump's helicopter had two hydraulic failures in the flight control system. Now, those are the most protected planes in the world. But I will tell you this, even Air Force One and Air Force Two were tampered with so much so that they had to have, emergency mechanics and those who knew all the different flight systems. That's the most protected aircraft in the world. But yet, who wants President Trump dead? Easily. You're watching him on television, a former president who did everything he could, Barack Obama, nation of damnation, to destroy President Trump, who created the Steele dossier with Hillary Clinton. All of that was lies, yet not. And I go with, the statement that Mike Flynn made, no prosecutions, no arrests, no grand juries. So far, none of that's happened, but arrests and prosecution, he said, if none of that happens, I think his exact, well, not exact words, but he said, then we'll know that the same people that stole the first presidency will see to it that no one has accountability, okay? And we're watching that. And I know that you've seen it. I mean, you've testified in enough court cases. The absolute covering up, covering over of the greatest crime committed. And I don't care if you're left or right in this aspect. If you think that the politics won't come after you, Jimmy Kimmel learned the hard way. You can only mock so long. And by the way, I'm no fan of his. Or Stephen Colbert, or the other Jimmy, what's that guy's name, Fallon, or David Letterman, or all these people running cover for the leftists. You and I talked about the Maui burning down, the intentional burning of Maui for the purpose of stealing all the land to put in high-density developing apartments and everything. And then today it came out that basically the president of the United States said the same thing, that the entire area of the colony Malibu, of Brentwood, everything that burned was basically to destroy all of the low-density housing, all the millionaire, billionaire mansions in order to put in high-density housing. And it's the same thing that we heard from the demon rat Democrat governor, in my opinion, of Hawaii, and he and what's that guy? New scum, not the old scum. The old scum is the same as the new scum, S-C-U-M, but they talked openly at one point where they were both going to put high-density housing on those properties that were basically priceless. I mean, they were so high-priced. So what we're seeing is an orchestrated takedown and takeover of the United States. We've turned into and are becoming, forget the word Marxist, we are a communist in process, a communist nation under revolution. And when I see the vitriolic hatred, for instance, from the mayor in Chicago, and Eric, we better just put up the headline to that so people can see it, and probably not the whole article, but just the headline. And Doug, read that headline and tell me, as someone who's been on the right, go ahead and read it.
Sure, the mayor of Chicago, for the audio, for the listeners, mayor of Chicago says jails and incarceration and law enforcement is a sickness. Okay, now let that sink in. And remember, if that's his ideology, if that's his belief, if that's their belief, then really belief is the driver behind action. So I'm just saying there is.
Yeah. And it's one of the most outspoken, filled with hate towards white people. I'm not a racist. I'm a realist. And the thing that I want people to recognize is, even today, one of the famous Muslim imams in New York, or one thing, was talking about Islam is conquering and will totally conquer the United States. Did you see him? So what we're watching, what we're watching is the systematic and orchestration of the takedown and breakdown of the United States of America. And ladies and gentlemen, this affects you. This affects the statement behind you're going to own nothing. You know, you're going to own nothing and be happy. Well, yeah, happy people, you know, dead people can be happy because they don't have to deal with it anymore. And they're taking everything away. That's prompted me to say, and you better hear these words, the only thing you'll be able to keep, whether it's your freedom, your faith, your food, your home, your normal family, is what you're willing to fight for. Now, I'm talking about standing up for Jesus. I want to make it clear. I'm talking about attacking the evil spirit behind, and evil spirits, both the demons and fallen angels that are controlling the narrative. When you see the amount of hatred, vitriolic destruction being called for against us, us means any conservative, any Christian, anybody that believes in the nuclear family, husband and wife, anybody who believes that perversion is perversion, all of those categories, there's way more than that, by the way, they're calling for our open destruction. And one, I don't know what I would call it, an it, because, you know, preference, is she has, or it has, a email that's basically, whatever her name is, bring back the guillotines.com. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Okay, so here's what we have. We have the spirit of the French Revolution loosed in our land. No one, and even President Trump, didn't deal with George Soros in his first term, and he should have. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, we're at a, by the way, we're still at a closer contact point to World War III. It hasn't gone away. It's getting worse. Mr. Peskov, one of the spokesmen, who, by the way, speaks perfect English, I'm told, said NATO and the United States are bringing us closer to nuclear war than ever before. And that's the theme. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to go away. NATO's toast. You and I, Doug, I remember being on your show 5 years ago. I said, NATO's finished. And now they're fighting behind the scenes with the EU. And the woman who's running it now, she's getting votes of no confidence. And why is it? And I don't know the exact count, but why is it that the 30-some nations in NATO, the females are the defense ministers? I can't figure that out, except where are the men? Oh, I get it. They lost their testicles, they lost their nerve, and they gave their power unto the women. And because the women at least knew what they wanted, the men were so wanting to be politically correct. We have the president in the United States in Britain meeting with the king, but also meeting with the prime minister. And the prime minister in his current role is accelerating the destruction of Britain from within. If you look at the unprotected borders of every place that is preferring the immigrants over the, and I will call them this, the invasion of armed and potentially, let's say this, known desires of those who are being let in to destroy the nations that are coming. Look what's happening in France, basket case, my opinion. Look what's happening in Germany, basket case, in my opinion. Look what's happening in Britain, basket case, in my opinion. Look at what's happening in Italy, basket case, in my opinion. And it goes on and on and on. And then look at what's happening in the United States. Because that mayor statement, what a lot of people don't know, and again, this is in the noosphere of the people that I know, I've worked with some for 30 years, they're saying the amount of weapons that were taken by the flight of the Americans when we left Afghanistan, that was the most horrific blotch of planned, not only cowardice, but transfer of military assets in the history of the world. It was so heinous. We even left behind the Afghanis that trusted the Americans at their word. That was Joe Bidenstein, okay? A lot of those weapons, and we're talking in the hundreds of millions, state-of-the-art U.S. military equipment is being passed out in Mexico, but also going into, guess where, the blue states. And so, ladies and gentlemen, you know, it's civil war is on because you don't want it, I don't want it, we never started trying to initiate it. And the United States was the first to bring the term nuclear weapons to the table about dealing with Russia and NATO. And then the United States, and look, I'm not blaming U.S. for, you know, blame us for everything, but I will say this, our State Department was the paramount driver, catalyst, and enzyme for the destruction of Russia behind the scenes, and still is. Listen, we can't just tell a nation, well, we're going to take 41 of your separate territorial areas and pass them out against NATO. Those of us who knew the literal commandment of the living God, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or anything that is thy neighbor's, or Russia's $300 billion that the West stole. And I said, if you want to see serious trying to defuse situations, give Russia back their stolen funds. I'm serious about that because, again, everything we, and this is true, every treaty the United States ever had with Russia, we broke. Every treaty, treaty.
Yeah.
And so,
That's very well documented, by the way, and especially this century. I just have to say, obviously, the post Cold War, but this century has been horrendous with respect to the, and especially with Ukraine, the U.S. and NATO. And I can even extend that into the Middle East, but speaking on Ukraine, yeah, we'd done them wrong, and simple as that. Go ahead.
Well, you know, Pol Pot was known as the dictator that basically slaughtered his own people, the Khmer Rouge and the whole situation of Cambodia. And he went down in history as one of the most evil men in history. I think Anthony Fauci has probably moved him out of that place. And if you add all the people that have been murdered, this is my opinion, well-researched, you know, Fauci will go down in history as the greatest mass murderer in history because he funded the gain-of-function research in China. And, you know, it was a real simple thing, Doug. You and I were talking about it at the time of COVID and just how many Chinese had cell phones and they disappeared. I mean, they were no longer in use. Well, in China, you have to have a cell phone because they want to be able to whack you, track you, and stack you. And oh, speaking of stack you, they were building mass graves. And if you don't understand how industrious the Chinese are and how fast they can build stuff, they were building huge graves. I mean, there's nothing you can compare it to in the world before what they did. And so the lies, the lies, the lies, and I said this, ladies and gentlemen, the reason our nation dies is because people believe the lies. And again, the war is on. When Jesus said, Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Matthew 24. That word nation is ethnos. You remember the whole community organization of what Rush Limbaugh used to call Reverend Never Right, you know, and Barack Obama. That was his minister. And the thing that I think people need to recognize, Doug, we're in a full-scale civil war. And I would say this, the war is going to hit the streets when the weapons are passed out. We know that, you know, President Trump said, I'm going into Chicago. Then he changed a little bit. Now he's saying he's going into Memphis, Tennessee. And you know, the thing is, we don't have that kind of manpower unless all of our troops are pulled in from Western Europe. Then if you pull in all the troops, gee, where do they get their firearms? Where do they get their bullets? Where do they get their man pads? As Jamie Walden has stated, you know, I mean, he is a Marine, but all of our man pads, 51,000 of the Pentagon's shoulder fired missiles, you know, they were sold to the Ukraine. Actually, they were given to Ukraine. Ukraine sold them and took the funds. But the point being, there weren't 51,000 Russian tanks. So what is happening is we're being stripped bare. And, you know, I've talked about the Jeremiah chapter 8 and other chapters in Jeremiah where when God judges a nation, and I believe that Charlie Kirk's revival is prior to the greatest loss of life, and I believe God is preparing his people, but at the end of the day, I will stand or fall by my attitude and by my relationship with Jesus Christ. We all have to recognize that being a Christian, as we watch our Christian brothers slaughtered in Africa, as we're watching them slaughtered all over the world, especially in the Middle East. And now, Doug, I remember you and I doing shows back after 9/11. Now we've invited one of the head guys called a head chopper, and he's one of the guys that beheaded more Christians in Syria. Now he's in the United States, and the United States is recognizing the Syrian government under that man. Did that blow your mind?
It's not surprising, Steve. I mean, based on our previous discussions, years, decade plus ago. No, I mean, it's bothersome, but I think, and maybe you can correct me, are not people beginning to, well, otherwise somewhat obtuse people beginning to realize that, hey, there's something really, really dark and wrong with all of this? Is there an awakening coming? And let me ask the second question, or the second part of that. If there is, because to date, by the way, we have seen zero arrests for the 2020 election fraud, the 2016 treasonous activity into the elections, the COVID crisis. I mean, pick a crime. How many arrests have we seen? How many charges have been filed? How many perps have been walked in the federal jewelry? You know, we've seen nothing yet. And I think people are starting to get really pissed off now. I mean, not beyond you and I, and beyond the listeners of this broadcast. There's now, we've been nice. We've been saying, hey, you know, we'll give you some time. And one of my favorite lines is, you know, look, okay, we'll give you some time. But if you don't get the job done, then we'll do it. And I think that's where we're at. Now we're saying, you know what? you did not. You haven't done the job. And we're talking about investigation. What good is evidence? What good is proof? What good are investigations? The bullshit sound bites by Congress, Rand Paul, Jim Jordan getting all, you know, up in arms. If nothing comes of this, we demand justice. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I hate to sound like the quintessential realists, but nothing will come of it because we are at the point, ladies and gentlemen. Look, all this talk about World War III is not fake. All this talk about World War III is not scare tactics. A lot of people won't even address the issue because I've had people tell me this. Basically, they'll put something in front of you and say, you're just a fearmonger, scaremonger. I'll ask them, okay, tell me one thing you know about Russian hypersonic missiles. Well, that's not relevant. As sure the blazes is, the blazes, as in the blazing trails that the rockets will be hitting the United States, Russian rockets, within 2 to 3 minutes. And ladies and gentlemen, our military went woke, it went broke, and it went broke morally and financially. We're $37 trillion in debt. That's what's known. That's just level one bookkeeping. Level two and level three, if I said billion, I mean trillion. The level two and level three books, you know, you've always heard of even the mob kept double sets of books. Well, the government does that too. And the true fate and state of the economic system of the United States is, how can you be beyond bankrupt? Well, you can only be beyond bankrupt if what you say you owe is exceeded by a factor of 100. For instance, in the gold market right now, the amount of gold that exists versus the amount that's on paper, you and I've done a couple shows on that, what are called exchange-traded funds, 750 ounces of gold do not exist to every ounce of gold that's on paper. On silver, they say it's 250 ounces of silver to every ounce of silver that exists. I don't believe that. I believe the numbers are much higher magnitude. Saying all that, you know, at some point, gold and silver, this isn't a scare tactic, this isn't a pitch, will disappear. And then you'll have the should've, could've, and would've. Oh, I should have bought it. And if people are waiting for the prices to go down, you missed it and you won't be able to get in it at any price. Why? Because I'm being told from Swiss contacts and from Indonesian contacts and from different places where I have different access through different people that the Swiss that refine the majority of gold are getting to the point where very soon they won't take American dollars. Very soon the money changers won't be able to change the American dollars. So then what does gold go to? And, you know, you've seen Bill Holter and others saying, hey, if we just took the amount of gold we supposedly have in Fort Knox against $37 trillion and gold have to go up to like $137,000 an ounce. But guess what? There's no gold. There's no gold in Fort Knox. Because what most people don't know, a day before I was able to even talk about it, a meeting was basically held with President Trump. This is what the rumor was, and said that they informed him that if he were to audit the gold, it would crash the global currency, which it wouldn't. Well, the American dollar would be crashed and cause mayhem. Did you notice how promise made, promise kept never went through to that far of a depth? And people get all, especially the British, okay? The British sold all their gold when, I think, Gordon Brown came to office. It was like under $300 an ounce. What is it today? Well, just the other day it was $3,700 an ounce. Today it's about $3,640, whatever. But did you know, Doug, that when President Putin put a floor on gold of 50 U.S. dollars per gram, and then a kilo, 32 ounces, so that's $1,600 a floor on gold, what he did is establish a whole new basis. And now it's $2,000 higher than that. So that's a just measure. And look, I want people to understand, we now are the communists in the world because you've seen all of the idiotic things that we're doing. Where, and I'm telling everybody this, you can say tariffs will, and I'm not a fan of tariffs. I know they're creating income, but they're destroying the country. What does the average person pay for a pound of hamburger now? I think the last time I saw it is $6.87 a pound. What do eggs cost when you can get them? What does milk cost? What does bread cost? And what's happening, people are being indexed. Here you go. The inflation is indexing them out of their lives and their livelihoods. In essence, when parents, and I've seen eyewitnesses, you can find them on YouTube, but I know from personal experience, the parents are going without food to be able to feed their kids. And unfortunately, when they buy a giant box of colored cereal, that couldn't be any worse for them than giving them, you know, mRNA vaccines, maybe just slower. But what's happening is our nation is being bankrupted, but we're being isolated. And we're being isolated because, like a cancer tumor, when you have cancer, they try and basically contain the cancer, you know, and they try, whether radiation, chemotherapy, or whatever, because they want to isolate it from infecting the whole body. But this is what's happening now with the United States. We cannot go around expecting that the dictums American, in other words, the American dictates, are going to do anybody any good in country. Because, Doug, people think it's the foreign governments that pay the tariffs. No, it's the people who buy the stuff at Target, at Walmart, at Costco, at this co, that co, every co. You know, whatever the goods are, and 85% of goods that are on American shelves came from China. And so what I want people to understand is this. You can mean to do well, you can desire to do well, but if you don't have the ability to carry it out and carry it through, it sounds good, but it does not reflect in where average people live. And ultimately, and I said this, and you know, the AI programming and the all of the job ramifications, look, people are going to disappear. And guess what? You get rid of humans, you have no Social Security to worry about. You don't have Medicare to worry about. You don't have insurance policies to worry about. You don't have anything to worry about, because those who want to do it want all the money. They want all the funds. They want all the power. They want to live forever. They want to know everything. And so this is why I stated, when AI came out, I called it alien implantation, alien infestation. And when I use the term alien, I'm not talking about little grays. I'm not talking about aliens from other planets or in the center of the earth. I'm talking about demons. I'm talking about fallen angels. I'm talking about why Google had to shut down their Willow chip when they were looking for parallel universes. And guess what they found when they were looking for parallel universes? They found spiritual entities that they could not contain the knowledge of. And instead of telling people what they found, they censored it. They locked the results away. But fortunately, a lot of people broke loose and told the world what they were really dealing with. So Doug, tonight, you know, as this show comes to a close, I want people to take advantage of what Dr. Williams was talking about, myvitamin777.com. And if you don't realize now, she is a rarity. She really knows her stuff. And she just isn't a straight MD. She is an MD. But she's also, how should I say this? Like I said to her, it was a compliment. I meant it that way. And she's like the hub, and all these spokes of information come in on a wheel. And she can tell what people need, pun intended, need to get their bodies and their wheels going in motion, because the war is on every human being, on our spirit man, our physical being, and our soul. The soul is the mind, will, intellect, and emotions. You know, everything is attacking us at every direction. And I believe Charlie Cook's martyrdom, let's call it what it is, and the hatred of the left, and the hatred of the blue states, and the absolute chaos and anarchy that we put up. I think you know, what President Trump did today was brilliant, you know, calling Antifa a terrorist organization. Well, if it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, if it hangs out in water with other ducks, then, you know, basically, I think it's okay to call it a duck. So, you know, terrorism is the order of the day, because remember, I'll give somebody the best advice I was ever given by a former active CIA assassin who died. And I was trying to talk to him about Jesus. But he said, remember, Steve, when things don't add up, it's because we control the narrative, we control the news, we control the reporters. And it went on and on and on, Doug. It's just like you said, I heard you say, if you foul the crime scene, what all the supposed evidence that would have been there, then they don't have the evidence. So they'll put in what if, what if, what if. The whole real argument is who benefits. And did anybody think they'd see the actual talk from the President of the United States saying he fears for his life, that Israel wants to kill him? And yet they just broke the story. His very offices, the ambulance, everything around the White House that's there to take care of the president is bugged, okay?
Oh, yeah.
I got to tell you. Well, Doug, God bless you, my brother. Yeah. And God bless Dr. Williams.
Well, and Steve, in closing, I think folks do not mistake, for example, the when you call out the perpetrators, the globalist masterminds, if you will, the satanic elite, whatever you want to call them, and you reference the like Mossad, for example, or the CIA, that is not an indictment of a particular race or religious belief. It's an indictment against the operators of the apparatus of oppression. So nothing here is anti-Semitic or anti-Jew, and to label all of this, you know, the fall of the Jews is foolish. It would be as foolish as